Welcome to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle another day. Larry's still feeling under the weather, so we're just going to let him take one more day to recover. And I'm happy to be with you here right on Air Talk as we focus on the first day of school for LAUSD students. I know a lot of parents have just dropped their kids off or gotten them on the bus, and maybe it's sort of that big breath of, hey, the summer's over and now it's time to focus on the school year ahead. If you are a parent of an LAUSD student and you would like to share how you chose the school that your kid would be going to, that your child will be attending this year, was it a process of looking at academics, at demographics, at geography? What were the factors that went into your choice of where your child would attend school? Please give us a call at 866-893-5722, 866-893-5722. You can also weigh in on the AirTalk page on KPCC.org. You can go on social media. We're available all over the place. Right now, we have some guests on the line and in studio to talk about the issue of how parents can choose an institution and also some of the changes that have been going on with LAUSD over the past year or so. In studio with me is Tanika Orange, Director of the Institute of Cultural Sustainability and Educational Equity and Assistant Director of the Principal Leadership Institute at UCLA. And she's a former LAUSD teacher and administrator and a current LAUSD parent. Hi, Tanika. Thanks for being on Air Talk.
Hi, Libby. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's so good to have you here because you actually just had a couple of your daughters who are starting high school, right? Can you tell me a little bit about that experience of getting them off to their first day of high school?
It was extremely exciting. It's like a new chapter in their life. They were nervous, anxious, and excited at the same time. And like anything, you're getting ready to start something new. They were ready to meet new friends. They were worried about, am I going to have anyone to sit with at lunch? And for me, I was worried about the same thing. Are they going to have someone to sit with at lunch besides just themselves? Are they going to enjoy their classes and all of that? So it was so exciting. My husband was excited. We were all happy for them. New chapter in their life. It's a good thing.
It's a new chapter. And I'm a twin. Your daughters are twins. That's right. So there's a whole new set of challenges, too, of when you choose classes, do you want to be in the same classes? Mm-hmm. Did they have a lot of the same interests? Did you end up thinking about it that way? Or,
you know, I wanted them to be in the same classes. I thought it would actually be a little easier for them when they would come home because they could have each other to work on their homework together. But, you know, they're older now. And so they've decided on their own that they would like to have some classes together and some classes apart. And so we honored that and they're happy. They only have two classes together and they do get to have lunch together. So that's a good thing.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
My sister and I ended up being so different. We're fraternal twins. I know your daughters are identical twins. And we went to, you know, separate ends of the school in many ways. We played sports together, but oftentimes it was all about, you know, carving out our own identity. So that was a big part of the selection process. Also with us to talk about how parents can choose a school and the changes that have been going on in LAUSD over the past year, David Tikofsky is a consultant strategist with the Associated Administrators of Los Angeles, which represents principals and other administrators working in LAUSD, and a former LAUSD board member and a former teacher in the district. David, thanks very much for joining Air Talk today.
Wonderful for you to highlight the beginning of school.
Yes. So we got the backpacks on, peachy folders, pens and pencils, everything. Everybody's all set. Maybe a new t-shirt or a new pair of shoes as the kiddos go off to their first day. What, because of all this tumult that's been happening in LAUSD over the past year, what do you expect to be different for students in the Los Angeles Unified School District?
Well, we can only dream that the year will go focused on curriculum and instruction and kids' excitement and teachers' commitment and energy. But we know in an urban setting like L.A. County, lawsuits and strikes and politics and election year can distract the best intentions and turn them into mush.
That's certainly true. Best laid plans. This strike from last year, one of the agreements that was struck was the issue of class sizes. And I was looking at a really great Twitter thread by our own LAUSD reporter, Kyle Stokes, about the number of students and the grades that will see a reduction in their class sizes. It's a really nice piece of work. And there's more coverage on LAIST, LAIST.com, our website, if you want to check that out. David, when you think about the process that parents have to go through to locate what school they have their heart set on and then apply maybe for an inter-district transfer to get into that school or apply to some set of criteria to get admittance, what do parents need to know about both choosing a school and applying it and being accepted to an LAUSD school that they would really like their kids to go to?
First of all, the class size reduction is one student, so let's not get carried away.
That's definitely true. Yeah.
With anything here, because one student is about six less than the flu season. When the flu season comes around, class size can reduce by seven. And if some teacher gives a lot of significant homework, I think class size reduces by five. So let's not get carried away with what's happening in the state of California. The governor put $2 billion of new money in, and he put it all in early education. Did not do anything like Governor Wilson, strangely, a Republican, who reduced class size K through three the most dramatically we've ever seen, and chaotically, of course, too. When it comes to choice, of course, the word choice is really the words of the Southern segregationists back to the 1960s. We shouldn't be focusing on the word choice. What we should be focusing on is opportunity, equity, and excellence. And that exists in school districts across the county. You know there's over 80 school districts in the county. You know there are private schools, there are parochial schools, Jewish day schools, charter schools. There's all kinds of schools out there. There's homeschooling, which has become increasingly popular with the autistic community in some of the valley, it's been reported on. So, yeah, there are different opportunities out there. But like I said, it would be nice to focus in on the excitement of science and discovery. The civics in an election year would be a great point of view and a subject matter. Social studies have come up in the debates about desegregation, race relations. It's a perfect topic for eighth grade U.S. history to really delve into the issues of the Civil War and the 11th grade teachers of social studies to deal with the 20th century changes and the 21st century.
That's a really big slate of topics, David. And, you know, just throwing it out to our parents, I'd love to hear from you again. The question is, how did you choose a school for your student in LAUSD? How did you zero in on where you'd like your kid to go? If it's a local school or a magnet school, some special program like a dual language program. But also, if you have any concerns about the start of the school year, some of the issues that David Tecovsky just brought up, please give us a call, 866-893-5722. In fact, I want to, have Stephen in Sherman Oaks join the conversation because he's calling in with his story about how they chose an LAUSD school. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for being on Air Talk.
Yeah, I just dropped off my daughter for her first day of kindergarten at the kindergarten orientation. The kindergarten teacher, one of the first things she said was, "We accept every child. We don't turn any child away." And philosophically, that is meaningful for my wife and me, perhaps more meaningful than putting her on some private school track that gets her to some particular college down the road. That's why we chose LAUSD in our local elementary school.
So it was about looking at the health of a local school district for you, the diversity that is involved with that. I mean, are those the factors when you say they accept everyone? Those are the ideas that kind of come to mind, right? Having a school that reflects more of the demographics of what Los Angeles is?
Absolutely. And keep in mind, Sherman Oaks is not always Los Angeles. But yes, that is the case that I want my daughter to understand the full breadth and width of humanity, not just a homogenized group.
Stephen in Sherman Oaks, thanks so much. And congratulations on your daughter's starting school today. Very exciting for many parents and kids out there. In the studio with us is Tanika Orange, director of the Institute for Cultural Sustainability and Educational Equity and assistant director of the Principal Leadership Institute at UCLA. Tanika, when you were looking at how to identify a school for your daughters, your twin daughters, what were the factors you considered and what was that process like?
You know, I consider myself, I have privilege because I am an educator, so I understand the system pretty well. It's not an easy system to navigate if you do not. So trying to think through, are they going to go to their local high school? Will they go to a magnet school? Are they going to go outside of the district? My daughters have been outside of the district. They've been homeschooled, and they have gone to traditional LAUSD public schools. And so I understand how to make the decisions on what is it that I'm looking for. It is diversity. Diversity is defined many different ways. But for me, it's making sure that my daughters, when they walked into a school, that they saw folks who looked like them, that I understood that from the principal's perspective and the administrator's perspective, that it was important that who they were culturally, it was going to be sustained in that school and highlighted in that school. And I guess the most important thing was actually listening to them, because when they walked into the particular school, they're going to University High, they came out with smiles on their face. They said, "Mom, this is the school." And it was the social and emotional aspect when they walked into this space. Besides just the academics, it was how they felt, how safe, how secure, and that they already felt cared for as they walked in before school even started. That was the most important thing, because context matters. You cannot learn if you do not feel those things.
So you feel like being on site at a school is really important. I mean, I think that that's a hard thing. You look at the list online of all the different offerings and magnet programs and special language things that are available. But ultimately for you, it's about visiting a school and actually feeling the culture that's on site there.
Sure. Every school says they're diverse. Every school says they're for social justice. Every school says they're a math and science or STEAM school. You really have to go and see what the feel is and understand really what's going on and how teachers are going to really support. And not just, again, academically, but it is that social and emotional support that comes first before anything else can take place and happen.
Was it stressful, the process of deciding, especially when your kids matriculated between, you know, elementary school, middle school, and now high school? The choices seem overwhelming, but also the administrative process of applying and making sure they can go where they want to go. Is that process burdensome, especially to a parent who maybe doesn't speak English as a first language or doesn't have the resources or time to kind of go through that process?
Yes, 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 yes. That, yes, it is. It is. Again, because I understand the system, I know how to navigate it. And I often used to say it's very difficult if you do not know the system to figure out how to decide what this magnet program is, how many options do I really get from a choices brochure that LAUSD gives you to, pick your school selection. So it becomes very difficult. If I want to leave the district, how do I go about that process and the multiple times you have to go and fight for your child to leave the district? It's a process, and it's really difficult if you don't understand the system.
You said set up fight. Sure, sure. And you said fight for your child. And I want to hear stories from parents who are out there who have kind of gone to bat and have really, worked to make sure their kid was in the right spot. How did you decide where that spot was? What was the process like? How did you work with the district? And why did you choose that institution? Why was that important for you? What were the criteria? 866-893-5722. In studio with me is Tanika Orange with UCLA. And on the line is David Tukofsky, consultant strategist with the Associated Administrators of Los Angeles. And they represent principals and other administrators working in LAUSD. And there's some changes coming for principals this year in LAUSD. Austin Buettner is making some adjustments to the structure and trying to make principals' lives easier. So we're going to ask David about that coming up after this short break. Give us a call again, parents. us. How did you choose a school in LAUSD for your child? 866-893-5722. Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle, back after this break. It's Air Talk on KPCC. Libby Denkman here for Larry Mantle. Well, he takes a day off recovering from a summer bug. David Tikofsky on the line. David Tikofsky is your name, sir. Consultant strategist with the Associated Administrators of Los Angeles, which represents principals and other administrators working in LAUSD. He's a former LAUSD board member and a former teacher in the district. And David, I wanted to get your take because I hear that Austin Buettner is really trying to make life better for principals and administrators and also decentralize the way the administration is set up in LAUSD. What do you make of those plans and how they might affect administrators and principals?
Yeah, he had a very horrible first year with a combative strike where he learned a lot of things about the energy of teachers and the community support of teachers and the big mistake of turning Measure EE, which was a good goal of raising revenue, over to the mayor to run that measure. And it was a dismal result run by the mayor and the teachers union rather than being run by the school district. So I'm hoping he doesn't get overjoyed with doing structural changes and just allows teachers, parents and administrators to focus on children and not start doing this. You know, we're no longer the Soviet Union. We're going to decentralize. The emphasis on structure rather than curriculum has always been another loss of a year. We need resources and we need calm for teachers to do what they do, get the resources so that they don't have to fight for crayons and Kleenex and field trips, and get other institutions to care about public education, that the MTA becomes a place where people read on the buses and the trains like they do in most countries, and the city and the county help with the nurses and issues of safety and social workers. It's really an all-hands-on-deck community effort when you talk about children and the future. So I'm not hoping that he'll do too much overt or covert structural change and let people do what they've been trained to do for the first time, have a year of calm.
And you mentioned the parcel tax, EE failing. What was the big, who dropped the ball there? You're saying the mayor failed to get this over the finish line, but it was also held during a special election. I mean, a low turnout time for Los Angeles voters. But it does mean that the district is going to be looking for $500 million, maybe in a future election, maybe another ballot measure, sending it again to Los Angeles voters. What happened with EE?
Oh, you hit it right on the nose. The decision by the then board president and vice president and the superintendent to put it on a special election with low turnout, with a city council race in the most conservative council district in L.A., was not very thoughtful, but it was juiced by the strike, this feeling that, oh, boy, look at that energy we had, that we can land on Mars tomorrow. Board member Schmerlson and McKenna wanted to do it on the previous November where there was greater turnout. We have two elections coming up in 2020, March and November, which will be high turnout of people in L.A. County and L.A. Unified. But there isn't much talk right now about a March election, so it looks like things will have to be on that big November presidential, and we hope we can get that kind of revenue there from the voters locally, from the state, instead of putting all the stuff in a rainy day fund. We're kind of having a drought in terms of public education. Let's get some of that rainy day fund to our classrooms, pre-K to 12. And finally, who dropped the ball? They raised over $10 million, and there were only $2 million against it. And so the money was there, but the real problem, I think, was a poorly executed whole strategy on a short timeline on a low turnout with no clear difference of what this money would do.
David Tikofsky, you just heard him kind of diagnosing the failure of Measure EE. The parcel tax that went down to defeat would have raised $500 million for LAUSD. Tanika Orange, also with us right now. We are talking about how you can choose a school for your student. Why did you decide to send your LAUSD student to a certain school, whether in your neighborhood or elsewhere? And parents are calling in 866-893-5722 because it's the first day of LAUSD. Amy in Rancho Park. Hi, Amy. How did you choose a school for your child or your children?
We have one child. Thank you for having me on. And we sent our daughter to the neighborhood school, a block and a half from our house. We bought our house to go to that school, and we went to Overland Elementary for K through five, and we loved it. And we applied for magnet points each year to store them up for when it was time to go to middle school. Our neighborhood school is Palms Middle School, and when we toured it, we thought that it was maybe not the right fit for our daughter, who is now 12. So we applied to go to Paul Revere Middle School, which is in the Palisades. That school is a feeder to Pally High, which we found to be very desirable. And so we are now in our second year at Paul Revere. We applied our magnet points to put her into the magnet. She did it for a year, and it was great, but we really wanted to try the charter. So we've now given up our magnet points. Mm. For them all. We earned magnet points for being in the magnet last year, and now we've given them up. But we joined the charter at Paul Revere, and we think it's terrific. And there is no magnet at Pally High, so, you know, hopefully it'll be great that she's in the charter for 7th and 8th, and then go on to high school.
And are you confident that this will be able to feed into the high school that your daughter is hoping for, just the same as the magnet would have?
Yeah, the real selling point when you take a tour of Paul Revere that it feeds into Pally High, which is a great high school. They have so many good programs. So my husband and I were confident in the system and hope that Paul Revere turns to be great.
Amy in Rancho Park, sounds like you are very strategic and very on top of things. So I think your daughter has a great future ahead for getting in wherever she's hoping to go. And I thank you for calling in and sharing your story. 866-893-5722 to talk about why you chose a certain LAUSD school for your child and what the factors were that went into that decision. Tanika Orange with us from UCLA. When you hear that, you hear a parent who had to really strategize far in advance. I mean, storing up the magnet points, everything like that. It's a real process.
It's a process. And this just reminds me of just something David said earlier, which is that it's really not a choice. The whole, you know, the goal would be that you have an opportunity to, no matter what school you go to have an academic experience and a experience socially that is just exceptional for all students. But the fact that you have to store magnet points and to move to a different school, you lose your magnet points. It becomes a level of competition on who gets into which school, which pits schools against one another. I mean, there are good things in all schools and there are things that need to be changed and shifted in schools. And so that in itself is very difficult for folks to end up navigating. Like, how many magnet points should I get? Is this school then better than other schools? It becomes this competition that is just unnecessary and it makes it very difficult to navigate for folks.
There's this whole language. I mean, I didn't know what magnet points were before I started looking into, you know, what parents are facing, not having a child in the district or, you know, a child in school right now. We're talking about the choice that parents have, or maybe it's not so much of a choice of where to send your students. 866-893-5722. David Tikofsky, when you hear this parent who's had to really strategize, save up points, then give up points, what's the solution for somebody who, you know, really has a lot of issues navigating such a complicated system?
Well, first, I want to remind the listening audience that magnet schools are desegregation schools. They come out of the era of busing that our U.S. senator brought to the fore recently. So magnets are not about choice. They're about desegregation. That is to say, Paul Revere is a place where many zip codes come together. There used to be a magnet, in fact, at Pali High. It went away as the school changed in its form to an independent charter. But I think the parents should just remain calm and invest their love and intelligence in their child and not do like Miss Orange or myself, put our kids through four or five different kinds of schools. Mine went to magnets, to charters, to private, to public. Unless you want your kid to become a cultural anthropologist studying schools in the future, just invest in them. Make sure they're excited about their day, as it was presented earlier in the show, that the energy of the teacher is invested in the kid, that the administration, the bus drivers, the facilities folks, today is a day where everybody has a high energy for their altruistic and committed to kids feeling. And if we can keep that steady during the year rather than panicking and politicking and having somebody sue over the distribution of revenue when the pizza is only a medium size and we need to get an extra large pizza of funding for the kids in LA County schools and schools of poverty in particular, and diversity, which does require a greater investment than a state like Utah, where the students might be a larger class size, but the homogeneity is much greater. So,
David, we're running out of time for this segment. David Tikofsky, consultant strategist with the Associated Administrators of Los Angeles and a former LAUSD board member, former teacher in the district. It is the first day of school for LAUSD. We're talking about how parents chose the school that they're going to and why. Just a brief thought from Tanika Orange, who's in studio with me. She is with UCLA, also a former LAUSD teacher and administrator. When you think about the first day of school as a former teacher, what's the biggest thing that comes to mind, the most important thing for a teacher and a student and for future success of that student when you think about the first day?
I think the most important thing for me as a teacher and as an administrator, it was to make sure we started to build trust with students and that it was reciprocal trust, that they, you know, that we created an atmosphere that they felt well cared for. And that line, if you start that right at the beginning and you continuously and you continue and you're intentional about it throughout the entire school year, that is the most important thing. And that is the exciting thing about the new start of school. You get to think about how am I going to build these relationships and how am I going to carry that through the entire year.
Tanika Orange with UCLA, Director of the Institute for Cultural Sustainability and Educational Equity. Thanks again to my other guests, David Tikofsky, Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle today. Happy first day of school to all the LAUSD students out there and other districts who are starting today. Coming up, we're going to talk about a groundbreaking new project from the New York Times. It's called the 1619 Project. You may have seen it on your newsstands over the weekend. It's about centering the history of slavery in the U.S. when we think about the foundations of American society and government and so much more. It's a great project, and we have the lead reporter who conceived of this project coming up next after this news break with Hedy Lynn Herdes.